here for the delay. The previous speaker had some technical difficulties. And I'm grateful that so many people came for a talk that has word type occurring three times in the title. So thanks for being here. My name is Chris. I work at Maker Foundation. And today I'm going to be talking about creating type-safe dApps with TypeScript and TypeChain. So let me ask you a question. How many people here use TypeScript on a daily basis? Yeah, that's what I was expecting, right? More than half our room already. So in the last few months, years even, we have seen like this tremendous growth of TypeScript popularity. And recently, it even got more popular than, you know, well-established languages like Ruby, for example. And we see like steady growth of on NPM and so on and so on. So basically, TypeScript has this huge company behind itself called Microsoft, and you know there's a lot of workforce working on language itself and on the whole tooling around. So for example, I don't know, like Visual Studio Code was for many people entry thing, like, you know, entry drag for TypeScript because it worked so well. So for those who don't use TypeScript, let me give you like, you know, more or less what to expect from the language itself, some ideas behind it. So first of all, like, you can think about TypeScript as a JavaScript with types, and the only twist in this explanation is that the type system is totally different from the one that you would find in classical object-oriented programming languages like Java or C#. So first of all, it features structural typing. So imagine you have two types with like interface named and interface person, name, property of a string type. And in TypeScript, these types are interchangeable, so you can assign one to another. This is totally unexpected for a Java programmer, which has nominal typing. So this is totally doable in TypeScript, but it's not possible in classical OOP languages. And you might be wondering about duck picture on the right side, duck image. So if you're a JavaScript programmer, you might be familiar with duck typing concept. So this is the idea is just as follows. If it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, then probably it's a duck. So you don't need to know the exact shape of entity that you're interacting with. It's just enough if it, you know, answers some commands, let's say. And that's why we have duck that is typing on the right side. So structural typing is like a duck typing, but during compile time. So then we have TypeScript features, advanced type level programming features. So basically, it allows us to transform types during compile time in like unimaginable ways. So here we have a complex object type, which has like some nested properties. We have some arrays nested, and so on and so on. And now we can use some generic type, like for example, deep parser coming from the helper library called TS Essentials, and essentially, and we're gonna get like an object with all properties marked as optional recursively, and this is pretty awesome. Like, you know, you can have a config which is like strict, and then we can have like, you know, some defaults, and then make automatically user input which is like optional of this config object. And finally, we have gradual typing. This means basically that we don't have to type our application 100% correctly. Of course, we should try to have this. We can come up with type coverage metric, which basically means like we can count the number of symbols in our programs that are typed as any. Any means that it's really untyped. And divided by all the symbols in our program, and we can come up with this percentage how your program is, you know, typed. And there's this tool TypeCov, which does it for us. And basically, this allows us to just fall back to JavaScript if we don't have type coverage or we don't have type information or we just don't care about types in this specific place. But of course, it should be used as possible. So now let's talk about how. What are the challenges about TypeScript and Web3 and Ethereum ecosystem challenges? So this should not happen.
So obviously,
okay, I don't know. So that was the demo part, anyway. So now I created like a simple Web3 JS code snippet. So here we, Web3.js is a library written in JavaScript. It's not TypeScript enabled. So here, even though it's a TypeScript file, we use it as it's marked as any. We don't have any type information about it, but we can still use it and just operate like if you, and just write code that we would write normally in JavaScript. So if you're like really desperate, you can still use it like this. So for example, here is when we're getting like, when we're creating Web3, it's any, when we're getting the block number, it's any, when we're loading ABI to interact with a smart contract, it's a DAI contract on the mainnet, it's again, any, and you know, everything is any, like you would do in JavaScript, so. Some people are happy with this, but basically this like TypeScript in this case doesn't help us that much. Like you know, it's there, but when interacting with blockchain, it's like blind. So the easiest approach here is to load typings. So typings is just like external type information that was provided by community usually, and it just provides this type information for library written in JavaScript. And there are typings for Web3. Usually you would install it by yard at types Web3. But we don't have internet connection, so I'm going to just load a Git snapshot that I did before this talk. And the only change in the code is that the way that we import library, instead of using require, we use ES6 style imports, and then suddenly our code is properly typed, almost. So the Web3 is properly typed. We can see that the block number is now number as we expected. We get like normal code competition and so on and so on, but when we interact with a contract deployed on the mainnet, we load this API on the fly. This is important bit because really this contract is a dynamic structure. It changes, you know, depending on the API that you load. So in this case, so basically these methods are like typed, but only a little bit, right? Like you see here that balance of is typed as just take some arguments, the array of arguments. So it's not really properly typed. And return type is again any, which in fact is big number. So, you know, it's also, it would be cool if it would say to us that it's big number because people are often thinking that it's just number and try to, I don't know, use plus on it and they just get an error during runtime, which sucks. So how do we fix this? So typing has this limitation, like it lacks API changes as well. So if there's a change to Web3.js library, then typings needs to be changed, you know, by someone later. And as mentioned before, it doesn't work with dynamic interfaces. Like we load the API and then we generate a wrapper on the fly during the runtime. So it's impossible to type. Solution for this problem is to generate typings on the fly. So basically, we can gather ABI files from our project upfront before compiling it with TypeScript compiler, and in the separate build step, just generate these typings. So basically, DTS files, and this is exactly what TypeChain does. So another twist here is that we need to generate typings specific to the Web3 Web3 like blockchain access library, so people using Web3 JS. The API of a smart contract wrapper is slightly different than from Ethers or from Truffle and so on and so on. So basically, TypeChain gathers our APIs, gathers like the target that you want to use. So for example, you specify that you use Ethers, and it generates these DTS files for you. So let me show you how this works. So again, we would just do yarn add type chain and a specific target. So in this case, we want to load target called Web3 because we're using Web3, not Ethers. And then this is a CLI tool that you could, you know, make like a post install hook or anything, but here we're just gonna run it directly, so you can see it running. So basically, you specify the target, as I mentioned. Can you see it? Okay. You specify target and you specify the API files. In this case, it's just one file, but it supports glob patterns and so on and so on. And basically, we can see that we generated some general types for Web3 and ERC20 DTS file. And now in code of our application, we need an explicit cast for this interface that was generated, because it's just impossible to guess to make a connection between the address that can be random during the compile time with the typing. So here we just need something like this explicit cast, and voila, now DAI is ERC20 token, and balance is big number, as you would expect, and we're getting proper code completion here. So these are all ERC20 plus some others methods that DAI contract has, and as well as events should be somewhere here. Yeah, so it supports events as well and so on. We can also browse a little bit this typing that was generated. So basically, you can also see that sometimes it allows us to specify either number or string, because this is what Web3.js allows us to do. So these typings are really convenient, and they're as open as possible, right? Like if there are some conversion happening, you can see it here as well. So you don't have to be super strict about some things if you don't want to. Okay, so in general, TypeChain works perfectly with any IDE. If your IDE supports TypeScript, it supports TypeChain generated wrappers. It supports officially three different targets, so it's Web3, 1.x, Ethers.js, and Truffle. It supports custom targets, so for example, imagine that you're not developing a DAO, you're developing like a protocol, and you want to have a generated library to use by different developers, and you want to, have come up with your own interface, hide some methods, whatever. You can generate it automatically by providing your custom target, which just takes parsed API and generates some code. And by the way, it can generate even code in different language than TypeScript. It's very general interface. And basically, then you can just hide implementation details from the users of your library. You could swap internal Web3 blockchain access library without affecting your clients and so on and so on. TypeChain has full API version 2 support, so things like structs, things like fallback functions or overridden functions now work, and it supports events as I shown before. And what's pretty cool that it works with Truffle, so we can do smart contract development, not DAO development only. So here I have this example of simple Solidity contract. It's like a truffle project with some simple Solidity contract called Gritter, and it has some dummy functions. We have some tests here, and it's super nice now to write tests because we have all this code competition, so we don't need to guess them there, the method names. You don't need to change files to be sure what's the name of the method. And what's cool is that if we introduce a change to the Solidity code, like let's say we rename say hello to screen hello, and we regenerate or we don't, it's not true. And we regenerate the wrappers, we're gonna find automatically, without running our test, we're gonna find breaking changes. So if you do a lot of smart contract development, it's just faster to find breaking changes like this. It just saves a lot of time. And by the way, if you use something like Waffle or a similar tool to Truffle but using Ethers, it works as well because it can generate Ether style typing. So recently, it's still in beta really. I was about to release it today because it works very well and people tested it already, but I don't have internet access here really. So basically, TypeChain version 1.0 features a few new additions. So if you used it before, now the targets are extracted as a separate packages, which is much nicer because you can even create your own package, your own target, like without polluting the TypeChain repository. The ABI parser is much nicer. So you might be wondering, why do we have ABI parser at all? So basically, we can parse JSON style ABI to something type safe, like discriminated unions in TypeScript. Speeds up writing the code generation part a lot, and it's just like less error prone. And basically, the architecture of TypeChain now reassembles with the compiler, general compiler architectures, where you have this processing in pipeline. So first we parse API, and then we do code generation. And this basically means that code generation is just a pure function that takes API and returns some strings without any I/O and so on. So it's as simple as possible. And I want to talk a little bit now about Ethereum TS organization that I created more than 1 year ago, which is like a family for TypeScript-related projects, TypeScript and Ethereum-related projects. So Arthur was helping me for a long time, and recently he joined as an official maintainer. And we have more than 20 community contributors to TypeChain.
How TypeChain can help us building a user interface for developers to test our smart contracts, do a GraphQL one.
Can we return to this question when I'm done, because I'm running out of time, and we have time for questions at the end. So TypeChain is already used by well-known companies like Maker, Notify, Chainlink, and so on and so on. So it's not like some toy project that no one really uses. It's really used in the wild. And Gitcoin also sponsored many bounties to inject some cash for external developers to help us with exact issues. And basically that's it. That's my Twitter handle. You can consider following me on Twitter if you like, copy paste and type.